Father, we're just so thankful for this opportunity tonight.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, that we can have a fresh impartation, or even some challenges that we haven't been a part of in times past. Father, we pray that you would anoint our sister to speak words into our lives that are going to be beneficial in every area, those strongholds, those areas of discouragement, and everything else you desire to use her for, Lord, to touch us. We want to be open to your voice, Lord. We want to be open to your Holy Spirit. Father, regardless of how painful or how joyful that may be, Lord, we want to be all you've called us to be. And so we ask you to release your anointing upon earth, to speak, our ears to hear. And Father, we ask you to just uncover and reveal and unveil those things in our personal lives that are hindering us from moving forward in your purpose. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
How many of you ever attended anything that was about tearing down strongholds before? Isn't that amazing? It's amazing. I didn't know what one was. But I'm glad to be here. Pastor Phil and Susan said we go way back. I'm not sure how many years. They say I prophesied to them years ago. It must not have been too bad because we're still friends.
Yeah.
I don't remember. You know how you don't. You can hardly remember your own prophecy when you're receiving it, much less remember what you give to anybody else. Hallelujah. I'd like to pray first. There's a protection prayer that I pray. When you're on the front lines all the time, you might as well go ahead and pray that and not presume anything. Hallelujah. Thank God if we're worth fighting. Father, I just thank you that you've not only called us to be your sheep that can hear your voice, and I just thank you for that.
Yes,
you've not only called us to be ministers unto people, but ministers unto you. I thank you that we are called to be war horses in the kingdom of God, and that you have been lying with us even in the stall like a rider would his war horse to create that bond that is so strong that horse will eventually run toward the battle. He will run toward the cannons, run toward the gunfire, and he won't shy back. And he will be knitted in heart with that rider. And I thank you, Lord, that we are growing in courage. We are growing in commitment to you. That we are growing in understanding of exactly what this is about. And I thank you, Lord, that you have given us a spirit of wisdom and counsel and understanding and power and might and fear of the Lord. And that we are not unequipped, that you've been working all of our lives to equip us and making deposits into us. And while we may not see how it's all going to come together yet, it will. And I thank you that we all help one another, that we edify one another, that we exhort one another, and that we will rise victorious. I thank you that when we come in agreement in prayer, that maybe one only puts 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. And with as many as we have in corporate agreement here, no telling how many we're putting to flight. I thank you that every demonic spirit has to bow to the name of Jesus, and none can stand up to it. That it's not about us. It's not about how perfect or poorly we've been. It's about if we will agree with you and your eyes look to and fro over all the earth to find someone that will agree with you to take the nations back for you. That it's been the enemy's desire to take the nations in his name, and that we agree with you to take the nations in your name. And I thank you even for those that have been buying the Strongholds course that will pray in corporate agreement with us. It's not even just about us here in Pennsylvania, but it's about people in other nations around the world who will be praying in corporate agreement with us, and that we aren't here just to be raptured out as miserable defeats and an embarrassment to your name, but that you have given us a great commission to go forth and teach all nations, baptizing them and making disciples, and that we will finish the job. We can't make everybody receive, but we will make sure that all nations have heard about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and in whatever way you gifted us and you lead us, that we will sow the seeds. But one thing that we can all do is come together in corporate agreement to pray scripture, and we're going to learn how to do it. I thank you, Lord, that you have given us power and spiritual authority, because we're not only carrying delegated authority, but we have authority as your children. We're family. And we come together in agreement, first of all, tonight, to tear down every assignment against us, our pets, possession, and property, and everything and everybody we care about. We say there's no hex, spell, curse, or incantation, or astral projected spirit, or backup forces, or backup assignments, or anything else that can come against us, everything we care about, or this meeting, or our commitment to pray scripture, to be that one that your eyes look to and fro for, that will pray in agreement with you. We thank you, Lord, that you limit yourself. I don't know why, but you limit yourself to working through us. And we won't let you down. We will make a commitment to agree with your scripture more and more until our own personal strongholds are torn down, until we are free to pray with more authority over our cities, over our nations. And we begin to, I just picture that web of agreement, just like a web, a network all over the nation, all over the world, from continent to continent. The prayers of agreement unite together, and that we will see a third great awakening in our lifetime. I thank you, Lord. I thank you that we're not alone in this. We have your angelic power. We have the Holy Spirit. And we have Jesus, who is the fullness of the Godhead bodily inside us. And there isn't anything we lack that we need for godliness. There isn't anything we lack that we're complete in you. There isn't anything we lack that you are it all, and you are in us, and we have it all. And I pray that our eyes and ears will be opened to know that our main problem is we don't believe we have it. We don't believe we're that strong in you. We don't believe your word, but that we will believe it. And I pray, my fervent prayer tonight is that everyone here would have an appetite saying, Lord, show me my blind spots. Show me my blind spots. Because by definition, I can't see them, Lord. I need help. I need your word to open my eyes so that I can see my own blind spots, so that I can be a mighty warrior. And the women can be war brides. But that doesn't mean you stay home while someone else goes out and fights. That just means we're your bride and we're warriors too. I thank you, Lord. I thank you that you know no gender, no culture, or no race, or anything disqualifies anyone, not even age, but that we are all in this together, and we expect to see not only our city, but our state and our nation have a third great awakening and turn to you. And we thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Can you receive that vision?
Yes.
That's what we're here for.
Yes.
He could have taken us a long time ago. That's why we're still here. Sometimes it takes something special to motivate a person to want to tear down strongholds, because it's easy to be content. Even if your life is halfway miserable, it's easy to choose to be content rather than get up and fight, isn't it? In my case, it was 26 diagnoses. Finally got me up out of my chair. I don't know. Maybe you've had family problems. Maybe you've had financial problems. Maybe you've had somebody literally come against you. And it began to, something began to rise up in you that says, I'm supposed to be more than a conqueror. I'm supposed to be the overcomer here. What is it that I'm not doing or practicing or that I don't know? And I believe that God has made it so simple, as he always does, that the littlest child can do it. We can all agree with God and get the victory. And I fought that feeling of guilt or shame that might come on me when I thought, well, maybe I'm missing something. Maybe that's why I'm so sick. You know, maybe I'm bad. Maybe I've done too much wrong. You know, it's a good possibility in my case. I was the woman at the well, and I made lots of big mistakes, but I specialized in making the same ones over and over. Has anybody else ever done that? Just made the same mistake over and over? You begin to learn that without Christ, I'm nothing. I can't even learn the same lesson over and over. And to make a long story short, because my testimony is on the website, I became aware of a ministry that was teaching on how to tear down strongholds, and then I began to study 10 or 12 famous authors whose names you would recognize. The credits will be in the manual that you get if you register, who had all written on strongholds, and I began to see that they had a lot in common. They wanted me to believe that if I have Jesus Christ in me, who is the fullness of the Godhead already, right?
Yes.
What do I lack? The main thing I lack is that I don't believe that that's enough somehow. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to release him to fight the fight through me. I still think I have to do it myself. I still feel somewhat separated or something. And I began to collect scriptures out of every one of these authors' writings or teachings, I wrote down the verse reference. And I put it together in a manual, which I told Pastor I have not prettied up. You get it just the way I collected it. It's not like a big publishing house did it. And I collected about 60 pages of scripture on strongholds, particularly the most common eight that we all have. And we don't know we have it, or we've gotten rid of it already. I couldn't see, for instance, that I had jealousy, because I told them, I said, if somebody wanted my boyfriend, I'd just quit. I thought, if he can't see that I'm valuable already because I'm doing the best I can, then I might as well just quit. I didn't fight for anybody. But I gathered several more of my most favorite handouts, and I began to do what Wigglesworth said he did. He said he never read any books, just the Bible. He usually just read one verse at a time, but what made him different from everybody else that he could raise a whole bunch of people from the dead? He said, I believe the one verse I read. And I said, I'm going to start really agreeing with God. And you know, the more you pray scripture and choose to agree with it, the more your eyes will be open to see, you know, I'm not as holy as I thought. I'm not agreeing with God as much as I thought. I wanted to be in agreement with God, so I was facing the right direction. But I began to pray these scriptures, and I'm not going to put a law on you how many a day or any formula or method, but I began to pray them, and within 3 months, I woke up healed of 24 diagnoses. I had two to go, and I'm still working on those two. Maybe not as hard as I should be, but I felt so much better with the 24. You know how we get? If you're almost there, then you just sit down and relax. Well, lately, I've had some attacks that have got me stirred up again. It's just perfect timing that you wanted to start tearing down strongholds at this time, because I needed to. Well, I began to realize the importance of praying scripture, and I began to understand more that the power of agreement is like everything. You can agree with the devil, and it gives him so much power. Mm-hmm. You can agree with the devil, and it actually releases demons to come against you. Like if you say, I can't do anything right, he'll be glad to help you see that that is true all the time, and more and more, and he will set you up and set you up to fail. And it really makes a lot of difference what you think and say. And I had three clients that helped teach me this. I do a thing called Restoration Prayer Ministry, where I help people see where they're shooting themselves in the foot, where they're not agreeing with God. And it's all tailor-made to that person. I take a history just for them. Then I give them all this back and I say, in all these ways, you're preventing your own success. And I had three clients that came to my house on different occasions. And they all asked me, because they had the gift of discerning of spirits. They could actually see spirits. I keep begging God for that. People tell me I don't want it. It's too scary. But they all said to me, why is this huge spirit of death outside your door? And I quickly realized, I said, you know, God, I'm the central figure in this scenario. They weren't all here. It was only me that was here every time. And so I said, okay, God, why is this spirit outside my door? And I had been going through a very serious time of grief. And I kept saying, this is about to kill me. And you know what that spirit was doing? He was waiting for me to say, this is killing me. And he would have all the permission he needed. And they could literally see him, they said, through the storm door. They were waiting. And they said he was listening. Just waiting for my mouth to give him permission to go ahead and kill me. I decided to repent. This is real.
Yes, it is.
This is real. There is a real war going on. There's the spiritual realm is more real than this natural realm. Everything you can see with your natural eyes is just like props on a stage. It is going to be gone so quick. Quicker for some of us than others. It's going to be gone. What's eternal is us. Our spirit is going to live forever and ever. And I began to catch on to the fact, nobody can kill me. I'm going to live forever and ever and ever. I'd rather die quickly than slowly. But they can't kill me. And at this age, if they take my body away, that'll just be a relief. I get a new one. But I began to realize that the devil is happy to introduce strongholds into our lives, hoping we'll agree with and defend the stronghold rather than agree with God. And if you were the devil and you were going to try to trip up some very devoted, committed Christians, how would you do it? Would you tempt them to rob a bank? That probably wouldn't work. Tempt them to kill somebody? Hopefully that wouldn't work. What would you do to trip a very devoted Christian?
Be sneaky.
Sneaky? How sneaky? What?
Keep her from God.
How do you do that?
Be unforgiving.
Christ is in you, okay? Tempt them to be unforgiving. What else?
Turn one against the other with different ways.
Turn one against the other or cause us to compete with each other. We're always comparing ourselves. Our church is cutting edge, you know, and yours is just,
yeah.
You know. What else?
Keep them from prayer.
Keep them from prayer?
Mm-hmm.
What else?
Keep them from the Word.
It's more sneaky things, isn't it? Just stay out of the Word long enough. You know, most of us have a sword. How many of you know how to use it? How many of you are confident that like a samurai warrior or whatever, that you could lop off a demon's head just like that? Mm-hmm. We've got to get that confidence. It doesn't matter whether you're a man or woman, young or old.
Yes.
It's the Word that does it.
Right.
It's the Word.
Right.
So I begin to realize he can do things like distract us with any number of things. He can make us feel superior or inferior, or more religious, get us into religion. Have you noticed that religion is beginning to collapse? I have been shopping for properties for us as we expand, and there are churches for sale everywhere that cost less than houses. Big, ornate, $1 or $2 million buildings that cost very little. This isn't all bad. It could be that religion is going to collapse and people will have to embrace the true gospel to make it in this time.
Yes.
We can be bitter, angry, resentful, unforgiving, jealous. Would that be enough to derail you if you're just jealous of how God's blessed somebody else or the pastor's letting somebody else pray again? We can feel incomplete. Do you know when you feel incomplete that you're down in God? Because he said, we have everything in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not just a feeling, it's a doubt. We can feel less than somebody else, unloved, unappreciated, not important. We need to get our eyes back on the vision that God has for us. Mm-hmm. We can feel rejected, overlooked. We can be overtaken by a spirit of fear, intimidation. Anxiety was mine. Or we can get real passive, saying it'll happen when God wants it to happen. Is that what the Word says?
No.
Not really. He's been wanting it to happen all along. Mm-hmm. His eyes look to and fro over all the earth for somebody that will agree with him instead of the devil. Mm-hmm. We can blame, we can accuse, we can get suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
We can just be proud. It's probably the mother root of all sins.
Mm-hmm.
Or get real self-sufficient. But we never sometimes see ourselves the way Jesus saw us. He prayed that we would really be one with him, really, as he's one with the Father. Doesn't that sound presumptuous or arrogant to think you could be one with Jesus like he's one with the Father? That's what he's been praying all these years, that we would get it, that Christ in us is the hope of glory. I want you to hold your hands out. Just humor me for a minute. Look at your hands. And tell yourself out loud, Jesus Christ's hands are in these hands.
Jesus Christ's hands are in these hands.
He speaks through my mouth.
He speaks through my mouth.
He looks into people's eyes with love with my eyes. He hugs with my arms.
He
sows seeds out of my pocketbook.
Amen.
Amen. And he multiplies them. Many of us, like in Romans 6, I'm going to be giving you all of this again if you don't take notes. I'll just tell you again later. In Romans 6, it says that we are dead to sin, that our old man is dead. And then Galatians will say that we need to die to something every day. We need to die to the flesh. But the Bible never says you're still half the old saved person. I don't know what you preach here. And half the new saved person. It says, I'm a new creature.
Yes,
and old
right.
things
right.
are passed
Amen.
Away.
That's right.
I'm going to stick with the Bible, whatever they say.
That's right.
Old things are passed away. But most of us, When the chips are down and the stress is on, we think we're still the old person. Somebody asked me the other day, because I really was the woman at the well, they said, you know, my past seems so far away from me now that it doesn't even seem like the same person. I said, that's definitely true of me. And I said, because you know why? I'm not the same person.
Amen.
I'm a new person. I've been given a divine nature, and I'm living out of that. And that's why I can begin to believe, because I have a divine nature, that my spirit can be one spirit with His, because my spirit wants to be one spirit with His. Now, my flesh doesn't. Sometimes my body does, sometimes not. You know, sometimes my mind will, emotions do, sometimes not. Mm-hmm. But my spirit wants to be one spirit with Him. Amen.
Amen.
So as we doubt that we're really loved by Him, as we doubt that He could really use us or live through us, really, as we doubt that we're totally forgiven, how can we believe things like Ephesians 1:3 that says that we are holy and blameless in His sight? We've got to really start believing the Word, or we'll never have the courage to tear down strongholds in our city. Because if we don't believe it worked for us, why should we believe it worked for another 100,000 people or a couple million, you know? We've got to believe that what Jesus did on the cross is adequate. And His Word is true. And the blood has not lost its power.
Amen.
You are no stress on the power of the blood.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You're not.
I like that.
God thinks we're all easy. His challenge is to get us to believe His Word. Did you ever think God's character might be good? And He's telling us the truth? That what Jesus did on the cross is adequate. So, if we commit ourselves to transformation, if we will commit these 9 weeks to pray Scripture, we'll have a notebook of the very same ones. It's just a few pages. We'll pray them that week. We'll all be praying the same ones. The power of corporate agreement will kick in. The light bulbs will begin to come on, and the good news is that we will be able to see our version of pride or jealousy or rejection or whatever it is, and our blind spots, we won't be blind to them anymore. Do you know that most everybody else knows what your blind spots are?
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't that motivate us that we don't want to be the last one to know? And Jesus has died on the cross so we can do something about it. So if we will commit, we don't have to be drafted. We will commit to enlist, to sign up in God's Great Commission Army. He will begin to equip us even more and more. But what we need to do before we can really march and fight is let go of all that baggage that's not us or Jesus. It's weighing us down, slowing us down. And we can. You know, it's not worth it to hold a grudge against somebody forever. Nobody's worth it.
No.
Nobody's worth that. You miss your destiny, your vision. You miss it. It's too bad. But we can commit and say, Jesus, open my eyes as I pray the Word. Open my ears like You never have before. I'm counting on this corporate agreement. I don't know how many people are in some of the small groups and home groups that are listening to this by video around the world. I know it's 94 countries. So that's a lot of corporate agreement. If anything can open my eyes, this ought to do it. We can receive... Let me switch over. Let me tell you this first. Satan's master plan. What would you think Satan's master plan is? Uh-oh, there's the answer. Is to cause you to either, it's all right, to either be brokenhearted or to become fleshly and have automatic sinful reactions. Does that make sense?
Yes.
He's going to set you up to either get your little old heart broken or to have some kind of offense or something, some fleshly reaction, probably against another person. Mm-hmm. Probably not your dog, you know. We forgive them so easy because they just love us so good. But his plan is just the opposite of the greatest commandment. Does anybody know what that was? Yes. What's the greatest commandment?
Love God with all your heart.
To love the Lord your God with all your heart.
Soul and mind.
And others as yourself. How many of here in here are able to love themselves real good? Mm-hmm. That's what I thought. Okay, so there's a goal we can set. I was 35 before I liked myself. In fact, I was 35 before I even realized I didn't like myself. I was just so busy, I didn't know what I thought. Does it surprise us that Satan's plan is just the opposite of the greatest commandment? If the greatest commandment is to be able to love God with your whole heart, etc., and to love others as yourself, wouldn't Satan's plan be just the opposite? And he is setting you up and has been setting you up. Some of you, before you were born, you were rejected, not wanted. They wanted the opposite gender and got you. Maybe you're at a bad time. We'll go into all that later. But Satan has been shooting arrows and shooting arrows and shooting arrows to try to get you to feel separated from other people that wounded you, separated from God, separated from yourself even. I don't even like me, you might think. It's not that we're really separated from Jesus, because Romans 8 says nothing can separate us. However, if we choose to believe we're separated, that he's distant, he's not there when we need him, he doesn't want to work with us because we've just sinned too badly, then it has the same effect on us as if we were. So first of all, which plan are we going to agree with? God's greatest commandment, to love him and others and ourselves. Are we going to agree with Satan's plan that we're separated from God and others and ourselves?
Number one?
Okay, good. I got one person on my side. Yay! So how do strongholds begin? I'm going to tell you this over and over. Till you can tell anybody, you can be in a restaurant, they can ask you what you've been doing and be going to a strongholds course. What in the world is a stronghold? You'll be able to tell them just like that.